As Britain prepares to commemorate the 200th anniversary of the end of the transatlantic slave trade, an exhibition in London's St. Paul's Cathedral is focusing on the new forms of slavery which affect thousands of men, women and children in Britain today. The photo exhibition, entitled Slave Britain, documents the stories of people who have been tricked and trafficked into the UK to work mainly in brothels, but also as slave labour in hotels, agricultural work or domestic service. Supported by four top British charities, the exhibition shows the devastating impact of this human trafficking on individuals and family life, but also documents the work of many modern-day abolitionists, inspired by their ancestors over two centuries ago.
We decided that it was very important that in the bicentenary year, not only to draw people's attention to the realities of the transatlantic slave trade, but to make the general public aware that slavery continues throughout the world today and that in the UK, its main form is human trafficking.
Beth Hertzfeld is spokesperson for Anti-Slavery International, one of the organizations at the forefront of the fight against human trafficking.
Well, the photo exhibition, which has been put together by Anti-Slavery International, Amnesty International, UNICEF, and EVES, in cooperation with Panos Pictures and St. Paul's Cathedral, has pictures of all forms of human trafficking and stories to include that as well, so that you can see cases and pictures of women who've been trafficked into forced prostitution and men and women who've been trafficked into forced labor, mainly domestic work, but also the landscapes to show that where people are used as slaves in Britain are just the landscapes that everybody is familiar with, the common streets, hotel corridors where people are used as are trafficked into cleaning work, agricultural fields where people are trafficked into agricultural work, many of the landscapes that we all take for granted and where slavery is invisible. In addition to that, there's a section that's looking at modern-day abolitionists, showing the people who are fighting this at the grassroots level and are drawing on the inspiration of the abolitionists who were so effective 200 years ago.
Now, the exhibition is being staged, as you say, in St. Paul's Cathedral. That's a interesting choice of venue, isn't it?
Absolutely, and it's a very important venue in that it also gives a very high profile to the significance of trafficking in the UK. St. Paul's Cathedral felt very strongly that as part of their bicentenary activities, they wanted to draw people's attention to the fact that slavery is a reality in Britain today. And churches across Britain this year are holding various activities to draw attention to the bicentenary of Britain's abolition of the slave trade.
Now, earlier this year, the British Prime Minister, Tony Blair, announced that the government would sign the Council of Europe Convention on Action Against Trafficking. This is a very important step forward, isn't it?
It is. What we're calling on at the exhibition is for there to be urgent ratification and implementation of the standards that the Council of Europe Convention provides. So it is a very important step forward that the government has said they will sign. Anti-Slavery International has been calling on the government for over a year to take this action, but it won't be influential until they actually ratify it. So we have a petition both online at www.slavebritain.org, as well as at St. Paul's Cathedral itself, urging people to harness the abolitionist spirit and sign calling for the government to take action to provide guaranteed protection for trafficked people. At the moment, there is no guarantee of protection for people trafficked to the UK. So, for instance, there is only one shelter here for trafficked people, and it is only available for women trafficked into prostitution. Children who are trafficked to the UK are put through the normal social services channels, but without specialist support for their having been trafficked. And the men and women who are trafficked into forced labor have no assistance whatsoever, and in many instances are just identified as illegal immigrants, even if they aren't. And also the issue of their immigration status is not the focus. It's the fact that they've been the victim of this terrible crime. So by signing and then ratifying, the UK government will begin to have measures that will provide the guarantee of being able to stay in the country for at least 30 days in order to receive emergency medical assistance, safe housing, and relevant legal advice. At the moment, there is no such guarantee.
This and other initiatives seem to suggest that there is a much greater awareness of the needs and the rights of people who have been trafficked into Britain. Does public opinion, if you like, share that greater awareness, or is there still a lot of reticence to really understand the issues here?
I think there is growing awareness. We've been working on the issue for more than 7 years now, and there's a greater understanding that trafficking is a form of slavery and that it exists and affects people in Britain today. I think there needs to be a greater awareness of the distinction between trafficking and immigration issues, and also the fact that people are not just trafficked into sexual exploitation, but also into a range of forced labor, such as into domestic work or working on farms or in fisheries and food processing. And the purpose of Slave Britain, the exhibition at St. Paul's, is to make people understand more clearly and visually what trafficking actually is and who the people are who are affected. And they're very normal people, like you and I, who are just looking to improve their lives but end up being deceived and coerced into slavery. No.
Many of the pictures in this exhibition are harrowing. An elderly mother in Lithuania who's lost two daughters to the traffickers. Young girls who've turned to drink and drugs to try and dull the pain of their experiences. A Nigerian woman clutching a Bible as she faces deportation and a return to her father who sold her into prostitution 6 years ago.
Many of them, they were experiencing physical beatings, they were raped many times, they were terrified psychologically, and for them this trauma is really very deep.
Christina Mishinyene is coordinator of an aid program for victims of trafficking and prostitution with Caritas Lithuania.
Well, I think the primary aim of this exhibition is to show the British society, the British community, the whole phenomenon of trafficking, what is going on inside the country, people from Eastern Europe, from Asia, from all the world, children and women, they are trafficked to British brothels. And so several organizations, I think, they decided to show the British society the impact of this trafficking.
The United Kingdom, Britain, is the biggest market, I understand, isn't it, for women who are trafficked from Lithuania. Can you give us an idea, some idea of the numbers that we're talking about?
We do not know the exact numbers, but according to the numbers of Interpol, each year about 1,000 or 1,500 of Lithuanian women are trafficked to Western brothels, and most of these women, they go to British brothels.
And why do you think most of these women are ending up in the brothels in Britain? Are they being tricked into thinking they're going for a different type of job?
Exactly. Most of these women, and most of them, they are young women, they are trapped into forced prostitution by the false promises of better life, of better jobs by their recruiters, by the traffickers. Lonely mothers, women with no or very little education, girls from institutional care, usually they are quite comfortable prey for the traffickers who are really, really mutilating their lives, I would say, in these Western brothels.
So what is Caritas? What are you trying to do to educate women to prevent this kind of trafficking from taking place?
Well, first of all, our project, it's meant for rehabilitation and reintegration of those who suffered from forced prostitution. And we are offering a wide range of social services throughout the country. But I understand that we must think not only about rehabilitation and integration, but also about prevention. So we're trying to reach the risk groups, the vulnerable risk groups, and we try to make lectures in schools, in various institutions. We try to organize roundtables with politicians in order to highlight this really tragical issue in our society.
Lithuania, of course, is a traditionally Catholic country. Do you believe that the church has a very special role to play here in helping these women?
Yes, surely. The church has a big impact in our society, and usually the prevention that we are making throughout the country, we do it through the parishes, through the priests, through the convents.
You're talking also about resettlement and rehabilitation of women who have got away from the traffickers. How difficult a task is that, or how possible is it for a woman who's had an experience like that to settle back into normal life again?
Well, you know, I think it's really a very extremely difficult task to re-enter the so-called normal community life. We should think about the trauma that these girls and women, they had experienced in forced prostitution. Many of them, they were experiencing physical beatings. They were raped many times. They were terrified psychologically. And for them, this trauma is really very deep. We try to provide them with psychosocial consultations. We try to help them to have new jobs, to find the living place. But this is really the process, not of a month or two. This goes on for quite a long period of time. And I think that those women who decide to witness in the courts against the traffickers and the pimps, they're really heroes of our days.
Because their lives may be very often in danger if they decide to, as you say, testify against the traffickers.
Yeah, not only this. Surely we must think about the safety of these women. If we encourage them to witness in the courts, we must provide also safe shelters. But not only because of this, these are long processes, and to stand in the court and to face your rapers, your traffickers, it's really not an easy issue. And usually these processes, they go on for years, and you can imagine the situation in which these women are finding themselves.
Do you have any inspiring stories, any success stories of women who really have managed to get away from these terribly traumatic situations and really help perhaps other women in similar situations?
Well, I would say that there are quite a lot of such stories, and really I noticed that young people, young women, they have this inner force to go on with their living. They are not losing the hope in life. This is really inspiring, and some of them, they managed to obtain some education. Some of them, they're finding quite good jobs and creating a new family. And I think this is really inspiring. And the message that I would like to give through you, your radio, would be that we shouldn't give up hope, never. And that hope, it exists. And we should believe that there are persons who can help the woman in this tragic situation, and hope should never die.
My thanks there to Kristina Mišinjene from Caritas Lithuania and Beth Hertzfeldt from Anti-Slavery International.